Thank you, guys. It's amazing the grace we've given. Well, in the last few weeks, I've been talking about the church. And last week, we talked about being stones for God. Yeah, a stone is something permanent. It's hard. It's strong. It's a way of talking about the strength that God calls us to as Christians. See, each of us, by dropping our little rock or pebble into action in the church, whether it's teaching Sunday school or taking care of the physical plant of the church or providing teachable moments and classes for others to learn more about God, whether it's sending a card or serving on a committee or providing transportation for someone or visiting someone that's lonely, a neighbor that might need a wonderful smile. We are utilizing gifts that are given to us. And those little stones mound up to significance. There's a famous Aesop fable about a crane, a bird that was thirsty, and he came upon a jug that had water in it, but the water was so low that he couldn't reach his beak in far enough to get the water. So he thought of something. He went and he grabbed a pebble, put the pebble in. He went and grabbed another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And lo and behold, as he added the pebbles, the water level rose and he was able to drink. You see, each one of us is a little pebble. And each one of us, whatever we can contribute, whatever our gifts are that God gives us, are to build his church, are to build that rock that Everthirst was talking about, to build so that God can work through us in healing this world. So today and next week, I'm going to talk about the elected leaders of the Presbyterian Church. Today, I'm going to talk about the role of the elder. And next week, I'm going to talk about the role of the deacon. And during that time next week, we're going to welcome our new slate of officers and bring them in as leaders. And even in this time of COVID, people have stepped forward and are going to lead and guide the church. You know, a leader is significant because a leader represents strength. There's a story about a man by the name of Dan Huxley. He has a world record in a very unusual category. His category is that he pulls airplanes. And on October 15th, 1997, he broke his own world record. At the Mascot Airport in Sydney, Australia, he strapped a harness around his upper body, attached one end of the steel cable to it and the other to the front wheel strut of a 187-ton 747 jetliner. And with his tennis shoes firmly planted on the runway, Huxley leaned forward, dug in, and pulled everything he had. Remarkably, that plane began to roll down the runway. He would go on to pull that 747 100 yards in 1 minute and 20 seconds. That's pretty incredible. But you know what? The strength to be an officer in the church is even greater than that. It takes superhuman strength to lead God's people, to take seriously the idea. You see, the church is a lot like a 747. It's bulky, it's burdensome, it's weighty. People have different opinions about everything. And when you get it moving, it still can do amazing things. The church is an extraordinary group of men and women who are directed by God to serve his love in this world. And so I'd like to speak today about some of their weighty responsibilities. You know, many of you are familiar with John Calvin, born in 1509. He is considered the theological father of our Presbyterianism. He is someone who took over the organization of Geneva. He was so harsh the first time that they let him go after 4 years. But then they brought him back. And what he did is he organized the city around people who lived godly lives and would take the office of elder. And he would help have them lead the people. Now, he's famous for his institutes. But one of the things that was so important is that he championed the leadership of laity, that is, non-trained religious personnel. He said the people need to guide the church. And as he did that, they were given responsibilities. And so he called the elders to lead. And the Greek word for elder is presbytery. A presbyterian is an elder-guided person. And we are in that historic lineage as we vote in leaders among our members to be the guides who guide the ship in the directions of the church. You see, in Scripture there are three offices that are mentioned. There are elders, there are deacons, oh, there's actually a fourth. There are bishops, and then there are pastors. And each of these have specialized titles and specialized gifts to bring to the church family. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17, it says that they are directing the affairs of the church. Let me read that passage for you right now. Paul writes to Timothy, "Let the leader, the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain.' And the laborer deserves to be paid. Never accept any accusation against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest also may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I warn you to keep these instructions without prejudice, doing nothing on the basis of partiality. Do not ordain anyone hastily, and do not participate in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." May God bless the reading of His Word. Lord, as we continue to discover how our church works, and as You lift up people to direct our church, I would pray, God, that You would continue to help us flower in the Santa Clarita Valley, that You would help us call more people into loving relationships with You, and that by our witness, this valley will know that we are Your servants. Amen. You know, there is, first of all, the elder. Then I mentioned the deacon. There is also a shepherd, which could be translated pastor, and there is a bishop. Now, the limited responsibilities of each of these offices are kind of fleshed out in Scripture, but each of our denominations have taken some liberty in making those titles fit the responsibilities that they are needed in each of the denominations. So next week, when I talk about our deacons, I'm going to have for you our newest slate of officers, and we're going to ask ourselves, what does it mean when we look at each of these people as our leaders, as our elders, as our deacons? You know, a leader has to be special. A leader has to have strength of character. Maybe some of you like the cartoon, The Wizard of Id. And the king one day in The Wizard of Id said, "Hey, the army is ready. We must set a date to attack the enemy." And he turns to the wizard to select the most propitious date for the attack. The wizard points to his charts and says, "Well, according to the stars, the 3rd of next month is perfect." And the king agrees, and he leaves the room. And as he does, he says, "The 3rd it will be." But after the king has left, one of the courtiers asks the wizard, "What's so advantageous about the 3rd? The wizard replies, "On the 3rd, I'll be out of town." You see, the wizard was not a good leader. A leader sticks with his people. A leader leads and guides. So what qualifies someone as a leader? Well, someone, tongue-in-cheek, wrote a letter. The letter was supposedly from a management company. It goes like this. "To Jesus, son of Joseph, Woodcrafters Carpenter Shop, Nazareth, 25922, from Jordan Management. The consultants," and it's written to in Jerusalem, and it says, "Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of 12 men that you have picked for managerial positions in your organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer, but have also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of all these tests are included, and you will want to study each one of them carefully. As part of our service, we make some general comments for your guidance, much as an auditor will include some general statements. This is given as a result of staff consultation and comes without an additional fee. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocal aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience in managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. And James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings. And they both are registered high on the high score on the manic depressive scale. You see, one of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of ability, resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. Sincerely yours, the Jordan Management Consultants. See, I tell you that story because so many people that I approach as potential officers in the church say, I'm not worthy. But so many people discover their gifts as they step forward and volunteer. They don't find themselves as lacking. Neither did the 12 disciples. Yes, they had things to overcome, but they served God. You see, it says in Scripture, and depending on the translation you use, it says that elders are to rule. But really, a better translation is they're called to lead. To lead someone, you've got to have some charisma. You've got to enjoy people. You've got to gather the flock around you and bring them forward. You see, the idea of being someone who's called to be an elder is the idea of someone who has the gifts of help, wants to help people. Can't boss them around, but wants to help them. Come beneath them, come beside them. That's found in Leviticus in the Old Testament. That's what a leader does. In Judges, we find out that leaders strengthen one another and strengthen the people underneath them. In 2 Samuel, we see that leaders are a source of encouragement. You see, that's what Paul, who in Acts 20:28, told the Ephesian elders to shepherd, to tend the flock. You know, a shepherd becomes quite intimate with his or her sheep. And Jesus did that when he lived among us. And so his followers who love him have taken him as the example. How do we love and lead, encourage and strengthen? How do we lift one another up? And isn't it interesting, this passage that I read in Timothy says that a leader is worthy of double honor. What does that mean? Well, someone said, well, maybe it means honor upon honor upon honor. It means honor. It means great honor. You see, they fill a role that God calls them to, and God gives them special honor. It's like the cup running over in David's 23rd Psalm. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, hold them in highest regard because of their work. You see, as Lao Tzu said, I have three precious things that I hold fast and prize. The first is gentleness. A leader must be gentle. The second is frugality. A leader must think about how he's using or she's using her resources. The third is humility. And then he continues on. He says, which keeps me from putting myself before others. Be gentle and you can be bold. Be frugal and you can be liberal. Avoid putting yourself before others, and you can become a leader among people. In a college letter, in a college office of a dean, I saw this sign once, and I'm going to close with this. Do something. Be a leader or be a follower. at least get out of the way. You know what? We need to pray for our leaders. I'm so grateful for men and women who step up to say, I will serve the church. I will lead the church. I will be the one that helps this church grow. And next week, as we honor our outgoing officers and honor our new officers, I hope you'll be here to celebrate them. Amen?
Amen. Amen.